If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Rakuten.com. Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
It's Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances and save an additional $1,000 when you buy four select LG major appliances. Plus, get a free DeWalt 20-volt max 5-amp-hour battery when you buy a select DeWalt 20-volt max tool. Get the job done for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/26. Selection varies by location while supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for more details and qualifying items.
Welcome, everyone, to Redacted. Philip says, hey, I hit the wrong button. Steve in our chat says, this music makes me want to run for my life.
Or fight for your life. That's why we're here.
Welcome, everyone, to the big show.
Collectively fight the narrative, you guys.
That's right. We cover the stories the mainstream media largely ignores, and they're largely ignoring the atrocities that are being carried out against civilians right now in Ukraine, in the Donbas, in People's Republic of Donetsk, which is the area that, of course, has been in highly contentious area for many, many years. Zelensky just gave a big interview with Time Magazine about basically admitting, hey, we're done and we're going to collapse, and NATO really needs to step in. Western powers need to step in and fund the rest of this so that more people can die, basically calling for the total destruction of Ukraine. We're going to talk about that. Colonel Douglas McGregor is going to join us in a few minutes on that story.
Oh, and Europe, too. You're next, basically. We're the first domino to fall. You take it from here. This is a terrible plan. We're also going to talk about RFK Jr. What is he doing over at the Health and Human Services Department? Because he's really focused on poison that is anti-Semitism. Well, he promised me, as a Maha mom, that he would work on poison that's poisoning our kids, like food dyes, fluoride, additives in medicine. Anti-Semitism was not on the list of things that rallied his supporters. I'm very confused at the politics that's happening in HHS. So we're going to take a look in depth at what the F, you guys?
Yeah, what dirt do they have on him, by the way? We'll talk about that. We're also going to talk about Big Soda buying off MAGA influencers. You may have noticed over the past few days, a number of your favorite MAGA influencers on Twitter all posted almost the exact same message defending Big Soda, pushing Big Soda and Big Sugar into people that use the SNAP food stamps program. Like, what the heck? Nick Sorter, who broke that story, is going to be joining us here. We're also going to be talking about the JFK files as well with Larry Hancock and what's actually in these JFK files coming up here in a short order. But we're going to get to all of that. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Green Chef. You know, if you're a busy family like we are, there's no bigger savior right now than having Green Chef in your kitchen, delivering amazing meals right to your front door. You don't have to think about your dinner plans. It's all beautifully set out for you to choose your meal kits, cook your meals, enjoy your dinner, all under one application. Green Chef is the number one meal kit for clean eating. They deliver pre-portioned, prepped, quality whole foods with limited processed ingredients. They send organic, fresh produce, responsibly sourced proteins, chef-designed recipes in every box. They're really fantastic. If you want to create better eating habits that last, Green Chef makes it easy with dietitian-developed recipe options featuring fresh organic produce, quality whole food delivered right to your front door. Set your health goals in motion this year with Green Chef's Reset Collection, which is available for a limited time right now if you want to check it out. Really, really easy. It really helps us on our nights to not have to worry about this. With you got dance class, you've got swimming practice, like all of this stuff after our show at night. It's kind of crazy around here. So this has really been a huge help for us. Thrive all year with clean, easy meals from Green Chef. Go to greenchef.com/redacted free. Redacted free is your code. Use that code redacted free to get started with free salads for 2 months, plus 50% off your first box. Again, try it now. Redacted free. Just go to greenchef.com/redacted free. Try it. It's the number one meal kit for eating well.
You should post your dance classes on social media. I think people would like to see that when you go to dance after Redacted.
I drop the girls off at dance.
Oh.
I do not dance.
He doesn't take
no,
dance
I'm the
class.
Worst dancer you've ever seen. Our All liar.
Right. Well, what the... That's right. What the hell is happening with RFK Jr. at the Department of Health and Human Services? Now, he made a lot of promises on the campaign trail as it regards to health, like human health, not mental health so much as real health. He promised us to get fluoride out of the water because that has been named a known toxin. He promised to focus on food dyes, additives in medicine, real studies around the pharmaceuticals that are pushed on the American public. But instead, he's focused on anti-Semitism as a public health issue. And I'm just so confused at this. So I'd like us to look at this together. I want to do an I have a good news and bad news so that, you know, we don't all get too mad. So let's start with the good news. The good news is that ProPublica is reporting that the National Institute of Health will no longer be funding work on the health effects of climate change. Now, ProPublica is pretty pissed off about this, but I'm not. They call it catastrophic and devastating. But where has research like this led us to only more misinformation like this from ProPublica? As extreme weather events such as hurricanes, heat waves, wildfires, and floods continue to intensify and become more frequent, researchers are increasingly examining the impact climate change has on public health. Only most of that is demonstrably wrong. Extreme weather events have gone down. Weather deaths have gone down drastically. The most extreme weather events took place not recently. The strongest landfall wind hurricane was in 1935. The largest rainfall hurricane was Hurricane Easy, 1945. The worst storm to hit California was in 1961. The Earth has experienced at least two global warming periods and recovered from both without public policy. So I can send you any of this research if you'd like to see it. Now, a spokesperson for the Department of Health and Human Services said this: well, we are dedicated to restoring our agencies to the tradition of upholding gold standard evidence-based science. As we begin to make America healthy again, it's important to prioritize research that directly affects the health of Americans. Okay, so let's keep that in mind. They're telling us they are interested in only real research on human health, the body, right? Cellular health, that's what we're talking about. So given this statement that HHS is focused again on the health of Americans, why is this a priority? One of the few things that Secretary Kennedy has announced since taking office. Look, instead of inspiring universal condemnation, the October 7th Holocaust triggered a global wave of anti-Semitism. Ivy League campuses became a greenhouse for poison. Poison. Remember, he told us about poison in the food, not in the air. But okay, President Trump has ordered his cabinet to use every constitutional tool to uproot this divisive weed. I'm glad Columbia has agreed to this first step. So let's ignore the word Holocaust so we don't get distracted by that semantic. What he's saying is that the HHS threatened Columbia University with money and they capitulated. And now the HHS can control the academic agenda. So how do we know that anti-Semitism is a public health issue? He promised that he would do research on everything that he declared public health issue because of the COVID pandemic. So now he's saying this without proof. Like, you told us poison was in our food, was in our water, not in the air, an idea that's poison. This is a poisonous idea. Now, Republicans refute that racism is a public health issue when it comes to Black and Hispanics. Why is it now when it comes to Jewish people? You can't have it both ways. This is the language of neo-racists. We talked about that during the Biden administration. And again, the proof that anti-Semitism is on the rise, well, they use the ADL research. This ADL research says that 83% of Jewish college students have experienced or witnessed anti-Semitism, but that is broadly defined to include anything from, quote, seeing vandalism to, quote, being the victim of an assault. And we don't have reports of violence. We do have plenty of reports of discomfort. Why was that okay for Black people to be like, Republicans were fine with that, right? But no, Jewish people cannot be uncomfortable. Okay. They also define anti-Semitism as, quote, hearing problematic comments about Israel. And they say this is the most incident of anti-Semitism. Well, that logic doesn't hold. We can say problematic things about Israel. Has nothing to do with Jewish people, nor should it. And again, does this hold for every racial group? Clearly it doesn't. If I want to say that the Turkish government may be corrupt for arresting political opponents, I can say that. Says nothing about a hate for Turkish people, clearly not. And many Jewish people don't accept Israel as a representative of themselves. And further, I want to ask Holocaust survivors if hearing something problematic about Israel is anti-Semitism, having escaped death. So again, just get out of here with that. Now, it's our collective right to say that, but look what else HHS wants. This is, again, a document from HHS that they want in this response to the perception of anti-Semitism. They want to look into the admissions procedures due to declining admissions for Jewish students. Not that one. Can we go to the next one? This bullet point list. I think that the declining enrollment of Jewish students is probably because fewer and fewer students that are subsequent generations of immigrants identify as Jewish as a religion. But that's just my guess. But also, they want to review the portfolio of regional studies. They want to control the academic agenda of how we teach about Israel. That's not okay. That's 1984 level indoctrination. Should the government, any government, set the academic agenda of anything? Really? I'm just not getting it. So what do you think that this academic censorship will include? A ban on maybe Edward Said's book, Orientalism, or a reframing of the Israel-Palestine conflict? This should scare us. So why? Why is RFK Jr. focusing on this when we had such high hopes for him as a real arbiter of real public health?
I mean, he was the one guy in this administration, maybe more than any other, that we were hoping would be confirmed. I mean, yes, Kash Patel, yes, Tulsi Gabbard, head of DNI, yes. And actually, we saw her yesterday stand up and say, you know, Iran's not building nuclear weapons. So she said that publicly yesterday, so that's good. But we thought, like, RFK Jr. would be the guy, the Democrat, who's been pushing for getting fluoride out of our drinking water, talking about chemtrails, talking about making sure that our processed food, these dyes in our school lunches, all of this stuff. And this has been his main focus? I don't understand. I really don't.
I really don't either. And I'm upset about it.
Now, I do have some sourcing on this. I'm not going to say much more than that there are big things coming from HHS, which, so I know he's trying to, according to my sources, he's been really trying to wrap his hands around a big piece of this at HHS right now. So I'm hopeful that bigger things are coming. But why this? I just don't know. I can't wrap my head around it.
Well, not only is it not pertaining to something that directly affects the health of Americans and a focus on chronic disease, but also it is neo-racism. You can't reframe that there's racism only for one group, especially, again, as the Trump administration campaigned on the fact that, you know, giving privilege to one group was racist towards others. And so they downplayed Black Lives Matter. They downplayed all of these, you know, racial tropes that the Democrats love. But it pertains only to Jewish people. So I just don't understand it. And I really don't like the erosion of fundamental freedoms, such as now the government sets the agenda, the academic agenda at universities. No. No to that. Absolutely no. No matter what party.
But then people jump right down the rabbit hole. Like I see someone in the chat. It's like, why do you all hate Jewish people? No one hates Jewish people.
Who said anything about that?
But that's the immediate thing. That's the immediate like sort of response. And so then it tries to shut down all conversation about it. Let me ask you, do you think that the Health and Human Services should be focused on pushing some sort of academic agenda in our schools? Like, this is exactly what MAGA fought against.
Yeah.
Censorship, telling people how to, you know, what to study in their schools. Like, this is exactly what they fought against.
So you think the government should prevent students from hearing problematic things about Israel?
Nope, you're not allowed to hear it. You can't hear it. You can't. It's total
protection. And drawing a parallel, to this in the Holocaust, I mean, that's like... You know what I mean? That's the part I was just like, what in the world? Like that's like a mass casualty event. And they're treating this like it's like the Holocaust again. Like,
yeah, because some people's feelings got hurt. Like that's really.
Well, if we're counting deaths, right, there's fewer casualties on the Palestinian side. If that's what we're really doing, I don't think they want to play.
No,
that game
on the Israeli side, you mean?
Yeah.
No, there's more deaths on the Palestinian side.
I know you said there was less, though.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Fact. Like, that was a fact check in real time.
I think a good test for like anything like this, like it's just take the names off of it and just insert any other name in there. And if they were like, you know, maybe the universities weren't allowed to mention Jesus, they would not be okay with the government coming in and saying, no, you can't do this. So you've just got to take the nameplates off and look at the situation in a more sterile way, and you'll see that it's bogus.
Yeah.
I don't understand what's going on here. I really don't. All right, we've got more news to get to here. Colonel Douglas McGregor is going to join us in a moment because Time Magazine just dropped a kind of bombshell interview with Zelensky and the future of Ukraine as we get word of additional attacks on the People's Republic of Donetsk using new sorts of petal mines as sort of a replacement for petal mines now, using these sort of grass mines. So killing civilians is part of your strategy. Again, doubling down on that, we're going to talk about all of that and more. But first, we are going to tell you about our friends over at Momentous. I've been using Momentous now for a number of weeks since they first started working with our show, and I'm telling you, this has been game changer. Momentous, winners don't make resolutions. Resolutions break. Instead, they just start, and then you maximize that momentum. When the goal is health span or being able to live better for longer, there are a few non-negotiables. One of them is quality. And when it comes to supplements geared towards high performers, no one does it like Momentous. They invest in NSF certification, meaning that every batch is tested for heavy metals, harmful additives, and label claim accuracy. And it's the reason they're trusted by 32 NFL teams and collegiate sports team dietitians all over the country. Trusting research and their ecosystem of experts over fads means not offering every supplement on the market. Other brands can do that. Momentous believes in nailing the basics with bone-crushing consistency and then curating an intentional routine based on your individual goals. And by basics, we mean protein and creatine. Momentous sources CreaPure, the purest form of creatine monohydrate available. It's an absolute must for both men and women for peak physical and cognitive performance. My father-in-law was visiting a few weeks ago. He saw my son and I using the creatine, and he ordered 3 bottles of it right then. Because he wants his cognitive health as we age. So he ordered 3 bottles of it. We've been taking their magnesium nighttime supplement. It's been fantastic for a great night's sleep as well. So go right now, livemomentous.com. Try it today, 20% off with the code redacted, and start living on purpose.
Also, incidentally, my son had a health issue recently and had some blood work done after he started this creatine, and his creatine levels were optimal in the lab work. And I was like, huh. It's working. That's interesting to know.
But his electrolytes were in the toilet. So now we're like, you need to drink more water, son, so you don't have these migraine attacks.
Pro Savings Days are back at Lowe's. Mylo's Pro Rewards members save even more with limited time doorbuster deals. Save $5 on 24-count Contractor's Choice 42-gallon trash bags, now just $14.78. Plus, get your choice select DeWalt Elite Series saw blades for $9.98. Not a Pro Rewards member? Join for free today at Lowe's. Valid through 9/17. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
All right. Well, Ukrainian kids now have something new to play with when they go to a toy store. Ukraine this week launched its new toy line. This seems fun. Take a look at this. This is the AFU fighter Oksanka with a prosthetic leg and a Ukrainian flag on her chest. So little kids can now dream of growing up and dying in NATO's proxy war, or just have a leg blown off in battle. That's for the future of Ukraine. This comes as a new report out this morning shows the size and scope of Ukraine's cemeteries has more than doubled in recent months. Just look at these images. Just take a step back when you think about the warmongers in Washington, D.C., and NATO, and the European Union, who want more of these people to die. Look, all of the extra space that they've made available. Look at that right there on your screen, the left side of your screen. That's for the many thousands of people that will continue to die unless this ends soon. It's an absolute disaster. The Time magazine just published a brand new interview with Ukrainian dictator Zelensky, and it's pretty damn revealing.
I'll go through this part because this is the part that made me absolutely nuts. They say, well, he doesn't really like all the gold decor in the nation's capital, but he has one room where he goes to chill out and relax, and it has paintings that he picked himself. Take a look at them. They feature the Kremlin on fire, a Russian battleship sinking, and his people at war inside the Russian borders. And he says this Kremlin on fire one is his favorite. That's not normal. This is not a guy who cares about life, you guys. This is a guy who cares about death.
So let's bring in Colonel Douglas McGregor now to talk about all of these revelations in this Time magazine article about him basically admitting now that, you know what, Ukraine is done. The only way we survive is if the West steps up. He hopes that Europe will be the ones to step up and really fund and supply weapons to continue this senseless war. Colonel, good to see you. Welcome back to the show. Just first, your thoughts on this Time magazine interview with Zelensky.
Well, my thoughts about most interviews with Zelensky are not very positive. The man is a pathological liar. And so it's difficult to accept much of what he says, though I admit you're correct that he's finally talking about the losses and the destruction of his country, which, in my judgment, is largely his fault. Now, you will recall, because you were one of the few people that was interviewing me some time ago when this war got off to a start, and I started reporting the tremendous losses the Ukrainians were taking. And everybody said, oh, no, that's a lie. He's working for Putin or something. And then they were attributing these losses the Ukrainians were taking to the Russians. Well, now at least we have the true picture, and you're showing it, and it needs to be shown to people, because this has been a terrible, terrible disaster for Ukraine. Russia, of course, has suffered. It's paid a price. It's lost 100,000 Russians, probably 10,000 Chechens on top of that. But those losses are almost minuscule when you figure that somewhere is between 1.2 million and 1.5 million Ukrainian soldiers have been killed. And this man, Zelensky, is the principal obstacle to peace. I mean, the man that obviously conducted this interview isn't aware of it. But the discussions that are going on between us and the Russians in Riyadh are going very well. And we're getting down into details. We're going to iron things out. The only thing that stands between the normalization of relations with Moscow and disaster right now is, of course, Zelensky. He wants disaster. We want normalization. So I plead with the president, whenever he's listening, exercise your power and authority, remove Zelensky, get rid of this man. This man is a danger to all of us. And as soon as he's out of the picture, all the things that the president wants to see happen, an ending to the killing, a ceasefire, agreements, all of those things will happen. But you've got to get Zelensky out of the picture.
Right. And so one of the things that kills me about this article is that the author says, well, I met him last year in Switzerland when he was pitching his peace plan. And this quote, some of its demands struck his allies as fanciful, and no one expected Ukraine to achieve all of these goals, certainly not anytime soon. Well, that's nice of them to admit a year later after people have already died. So I wanted to throw my computer the fact that the mainstream media is now admitting that this has always been Zelensky's ego project to the death of thousands. Oh, but we knew that all along. No, they didn't. How can they say that? They've been lying to us.
Well, I think you're hitting the key point, and that is, yes, they were lying to us because, truthfully, behind the scenes, I'm sure they knew the truth. And they were told to lie, and they readily lied. This was the whole narrative problem that Clayton has talked to many of his guests about. You can go back to Mike Krupa and talk about this sort of thing. The truth was out there, but no one wanted the truth, and so the lie took over. And everybody accepted it. The media accepted it, not just here, but all across Europe. Now suddenly they say, well, we knew these were fanciful aspirations. Hundreds of thousands of people are dead as a result of fanciful aspirations. And of course, the main culprits are, of course, Biden and his administration, but also the people in London and Paris and Berlin and the other major capitals that maintained the fiction. And anybody who challenged it was a traitor, was somehow or another selling out his country. It's crazy.
Or just a betrayal to this myth that was Zelensky. This line also made me crazy, that they need to make sure that there is some kind of peace agreement that Zelensky will not find too humiliating. Who the hell cares how he feels? So exactly. People have to die so he's not humiliated? What the hell kind of journalism
Kid
is
gloves,
this?
Yeah.
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 Sorry, I mean, I'm ranty, but I'm pissed.
No, Natalie, you're 100% right. And that's why this man needs to go away. And the president of the United States, who's presided over this disaster in the past, is being replaced. We have a new one. His name is Trump. He did not create this. This is not his responsibility. But he needs to act decisively to get out of this. And that means get rid of Zelensky and the gang of criminals that surround him. If he doesn't do it, very shortly, he's going to own this disaster. You know how Americans are. They only have so much patience.
Yeah.
He promised an end to this disaster. He's got to end it. To end it, you got to get rid of Zelensky.
Well, as an Eagles fan and a Philadelphia sports fan, I know it. We have a very thin amount of patience. And as soon as you screw up, as soon as you start underperforming, you're going to start hearing boos, you know? And so, yeah, you're right about that. I want to get your take on this, Colonel. So a friend of the show, Eva Bartlett, one of the greatest journalists really in the world, she really shone a light on the pedal mines that were being used by Ukraine to attack and kill civilians. They were like these green little like leaf-like petal mines that would wind up in children's parks where they'd pick them up and they'd have their hands blown off or killed. Hundreds of people killed, civilians targeting this. Well, now here's their new strategy, these new grass mines, which are now meant to look like sort of chunks of grass so that children can pick these up and they'll blow up. So they don't look like petal mines anymore, but these are the new types of mines that Ukraine is launching into civilian areas in the People's Republic of Donetsk. So while these peace talks are going on in Riyadh, they're rolling out new strategies to target and kill civilians. Are you surprised?
No, because we tolerate it. Remember, we outlawed after Desert Storm the use of these DPCIM, IPCM munitions. These were little bomblets that looked like baseballs. And children in Iraq would find these on the ground, picked up the ball and throw it. The next thing you knew, it exploded and either killed the child or maimed the child for life. And so we went back and said, no, we're not going to produce these anymore. We're going to outlaw these. And then we discovered we had some of these remaining in the arsenal that had not been destroyed yet. And we shipped them to Ukraine. The Ukrainian leadership, this criminal government, is full of hatred. It hates in the plural. which is the worst kind of hatred. It's bad enough when one person hates another, but hating in the plural leads to disasters like the Holocaust during World War II and innumerable other places, Cambodia and so forth. This has got to stop. Zelensky is responsible. He's pushing this. His supporters in Washington are pushing this because it's all about hatred. That's another reason why President Trump's got to get involved and say, that's it. We're finished. They're out. We will do no more business with this regime. They must go.
I want to ask you, we both want to ask you about this signal leak before we let you get out of here, and also the Diego Garcia news over the past couple of hours. You probably have a lot more awareness about this, which is normally America has its B-2 bombers in America. Well, suddenly, over the past couple of days, there's been a huge influx of American bombers appearing in the atoll, the island of Diego Garcia, showing force to Iran, preparing for strikes against Iran. This comes on the heels of this signal leak, of course, that we saw with the attacks on the Houthi rebels in Yemen. So first on these, on Diego Garcia and these bombers, what is your thought here? What are we positioning to do?
Well, first of all, nobody should know about this. And unfortunately, today in the world of satellite surveillance, it's very difficult to hide forces on the surface that move around, whether they're surface ships or aircraft or troops. But I am disappointed that this sort of thing is peddled by the media. If I were the Secretary of Defense, I would be furious. You know, this sort of thing should not be common knowledge. Now, what are they going to do? I think it's pretty clear, Clayton. This is all about Iran. You don't need to employ B-2 bombers to strike the Houthis in Yemen, for God's sakes. So this is very, very sophisticated aircraft designed to survive integrated air defenses at 35, 40,000 feet and bomb with precision. There's only one target set out there for which these would be useful to the United States at this point, and that is obviously Iran. Now, you know, I don't support this idea. I think this is a catastrophe. I don't think we should bomb anybody over this business right now. But unfortunately, we're not in charge. And this administration has played its cards and said, you know, we're the Israel First administration and we're going after Iran. So I think it's pretty obvious. Now, is this just a threat? Well, I don't think it's just a threat. I don't think it's a meaningless gesture. You don't move this kind of equipment. And this is the tip of the proverbial iceberg. This is what you see. Beyond that, there's a lot more firepower now that's being assembled in the region.
Now, we learned from this signal leak that it would seem that the person who was flying the aircraft was not the same person that was actually deploying the weapons, and that there was authorization to strike a civilian apartment because one of the targets was in it. That's usually not allowed, right? And so you're talking about war crimes in Ukraine, and then we are watching it play out in front of us. There were civilian deaths. Am I reading this correctly?
Natalie, I thought the clown show was over.
Yeah.
You know, when the election occurred and we got a new set of people, this is a clown show. First of all, these kinds of conversations are deplorable in any case for the reasons that you cite. The sort of cavalier attitude towards the loss of human life and celebrating the death of an individual that for some reason we decided we wanted to personally annihilate, which, as you point out, strictly speaking, we have laws against assassination, particularly of people in other governments. But having said all of that, putting this out on Signal is incomprehensible. We have encrypted networks. There's no reason that any discussion impinging on national security, involving secrets, and some of this could be construed as, well, it's not strictly speaking classified. Well, hell, you've just revealed tremendous intentions. You've revealed what you are about, who is making these decisions. You're talking about the fact that Americans really don't know anything about the Houthis, so they don't understand why it's necessary for us to annihilate them from high altitude. These kinds of conversations are frightening, and they're amateurish, and they're unprofessional. So I don't know what the president is going to do about any of it, if anything. But under the circumstances, I think someone should pay the price whoever set this up. And I don't know how this man Goldberg, who is a card-carrying enemy of Donald Trump and the administration in general, would have ever been included in something like this. I haven't figured that out. If this is a hack, do we know that? If it's not a hack, who put the name on there? And why did that name show up there? The whole thing is incomprehensible. It makes us look clownish in the eyes of the whole world.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, Pete Hegseth can kind of downplay it and kind of spin it and say there's nothing classified in here and go back to peddling nonsense and propaganda, and that's fine. But at the heart of it, there's something really fishy with this and how this all unfolded. It's really fishy that it happened.
Clayton, when you get to senior levels like this, you're dealing with four stars and secretaries of defense and vice presidents and national security advisors. And I've been on the periphery of some of these things. And I watched as a particular general officer was told to speak to the Secretary of Defense. And in came the man with the satellite phone and the encryption device and connected back to the Secretary of Defense in Washington. And then the Secretary of Defense came up on the net to talk to the general officer. All of that was encrypted. All of it was secure. And the conversation they had, in comparison with what we've heard about Clayton, was modest. In other words, This is back in the mid-90s, and people would take no chances, none, that this kind of thing could ever go public.
It's not just goonery. It's wrong.
Yeah.
It's flat out wrong to, you're right, assassinate and have acceptable civilian targets. This is one of the things that turned most of us against Obama. So come on, guys.
You got to remember something else, that you're talking about a generation of people who are in charge right now. I exclude President Trump from that because he's not part of this generation. But if you look at the ages of these people, they don't have any real military experience. I'm sorry, but showing up for a few months in the National Guard and going on patrol or being in the public affairs office of the Marine Corps, these things do not prepare you to understand the gravity of the situation you're discussing. You're talking about the destruction, not just of property, but of human beings on a grand scale with weapons of mass destruction. And people say, well, that's not true. Well, I got news for you. A 2,000-pound bomb that is precision delivered is a weapon of mass destruction that will kill and annihilate everything. You start talking about these things, and you don't have an appreciation for what's at stake, because there are consequences to our action. They're not limited to Yemen. They're not limited to Iran. These consequences can reach beyond the region. And this is the problem and the danger of a regional war. I don't think we understand, frankly, the consequences involved. I don't think we understand the implications. It frightens me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Frightens all of us. Colonel Douglas McGregor, always great to see you. Thank you for your insights, as always, and being clear-headed in this and right from the very beginning. Okay. Thanks, Colonel.
Good to see you. Bye-bye.
You too.
Thanks. All right, coming up here on the show, we're going to talk about these MAGA influencers who all suddenly posted the same thing within a 24-hour period, promoting the idea of using SNAP, food stamps to buy sugary drinks. Like, what the hell's going on? We have the reporter who broke this story, friend of the show, Nick Sorter, is going to be joining us here in moments. But first,
we want to tell you about our show sponsor, Crowd Health. Now, this is something I can talk a blue streak about because we are Crowd Health members, and proudly so. Now, Crowd Health is not health insurance. It is a crowd fund that you share with other people, and you pay cash prices for insurance. Now, when we moved back to the United States, I really didn't want to get traditional insurance. One, because it's expensive, and then you pay bloated prices every time you go to the doctor, every time you get prescription medication, because they surge prices. So for instance, when I gave birth, my Tylenol was $300 after I recovered from birth, that kind of thing, because that's what the insurance companies are willing to pay. But if you pay cash and join Crowd Health, then you don't get those surged prices. You're paying the normal cost of healthcare. And then when you have emergencies, you're covered by the crowd fund. Now, I was worried about this because I thought, well, what if we have an emergency and we need something? But a couple weeks ago, you might have remembered we were off the show. We took my son to Children's Hospital. The whole emergency visit was $300 with labs everything.
And a CT scan.
A CT scan, blood work, everything. Because that's the price of it. When we lived in Europe, that was about the price that we would pay for that kind of service because they don't surge the prices there. Well, guess what? They won't do that either if you don't have an insurance company to motivate that. So that was $300 out of pocket. And we save by not having a bloated insurance plan because as a family of five, what we would otherwise pay on care.com is about $2,500 a month. Not only that, but today my daughter wasn't feeling well. With CrowdHealth, you get a prescription service as well. You get access to discount prescription. And her antibiotic was $8. That's just the price, again, without these bloated insurance plans. So you should check them out for yourself. This is really the way to disrupt the insurance and the medical industry. There's no other way. You don't need violence. You don't need to protest. You just need to disrupt. So go check it out at joincrowdhealth.com. If you use our code redacted, you'll get the first 3 months for just $99. And then after that, you just pay a per month fee. And it's like a portion of what you pay for your normal health insurance. So once again, if you just go to joincrowdhealth.com, you can get on a chat or make a phone call with one of their advisors and they explain to you exactly how it works. And I'm just one of their biggest fans because this is what we use now as a family and it's turned out to be such a saver and so great. And again, we feel so punk rock because we're disrupting the insurance industry. So check them out. Use our code redacted at joincrowdhealth.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to take care of yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps. Ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
Well, Big Soda really wants people to use food stamps to buy their products. Yes, being allowed to use SNAP program to buy sugary drinks. Do you support this? Your tax dollars going to fund this? It seems ridiculous. So they really support it so much so that they're paying MAGA influencers to tweet about this. And Nick Sorter, independent journalist, uncovered this story, exposed Influenceable, the company cutting big checks to influencers on behalf of Big Soda. Over the past 48 hours, several large supposedly MAGA-aligned influencers posted almost the identical talking points fed to them, convincing you MAHA was out of line for basically not supporting Big Soda. And you can see some of the tweets. They're all almost the exact same thing. Here's Clown World. Here's Eric Daughtry. Ian Miles Chong, not Jerome Powell, and the list goes on. There was a lot of them. Nick Sorter, who broke this story, joins us now. And nice to see you, Nick. Welcome to the show. Great to have you back.
I appreciate you, Clayton. And, maybe it's if people realize how much money was actually spent, tax dollars subsidizing these big soda companies, of course that you're going to see Coca-Cola Company and PepsiCo dumping tons and tons of cash into these influencers, cutting big checks, sometimes up to $1,000 per post, because tax dollars are currently giving them over $10 billion per year for sugary drinks and junk food. They are in scorched earth mode at this point. And willing to write whatever checks necessary to protect that bottom line. The reason that this was so easy to point out, Clayton, is because How many people on our side of the aisle believe that we need to be subsidizing Coca-Cola and PepsiCo to the tune of that number? And so I smelled a rat immediately, especially when I saw multiple of these quote-unquote influencers invoking Donald Trump's name and saying, well, Donald Trump would be against this because, you know, he likes to drink Diet Coke. It was like, who said, what kind of argument is that?
Right, right. So we need to... we need to have tax dollars being used to fund food stamp programs because Donald Trump likes to enjoy a Diet Coke every day or multiple times a day with a Diet Coke button. And they all posted the same exact thing. I mean, this is exactly what I remember a few weeks ago, of course, everyone was criticizing the whole Cory Booker posting of the exact same script that all of these Democrats were reading that almost like they were just viral. They were grabbing their phones and like, you know, I just want to talk to you about something. They're all reading the exact same script. And MAGA went crazy. And they're doing the exact same thing.
Yeah, and so it makes us look terrible. But at least the difference between the right and the left is that we're willing to call out our own and keep ourselves in check. And that was a big takeaway from this weekend. You had a lot of MAGA people that were, you know, rightfully outraged by this coordinated message. You know, we want to be able to trust these people and not feel like that they can just be bought. You know, if you're going to be part of the movement, you can't sell out to big soda lobbies for a few hundred or even $1,000. You know, you got to stick on your principles here. And I think it sort of reveals to us a little bit maybe who to question and maybe not trust to give us, you know, it's fine. Clayton,
yeah, question everything. Question everything, right?
It's fine to do ads. It's fine to just, you know, have sponsors. You know, we have to make a living, right? But disclose these sponsors and don't sell out your principles like that. That's why this is such a big deal.
No, I think you're right about that. I mean, we here on the show, we usually have like three or four sponsors during our show every day. And if you watch like, you know, like a Fox News show, a Fox morning show, there'll be like 24 sponsors, I think, in a show. They go to commercial break or whatever. And we always say, you know, we're proud to sponsor, you know, this show is sponsored by this. I know like our friend of the show, Tucker Carlson, when he posts a video, like he puts like, you know, brought to you by or whatever, paid partnerships or whatever else. So I want to put up your tweet because I think this is an important point. So you put up this tweet that says every influencer contacted by this company called Influencible met the same criteria, supposedly MAGA aligned. This was all meant to manipulate their followers, which trust them for news and opinions, into siding with Big Soda. A grand total of zero of them disclosed that they were paid to push, and then your tweet goes on, this, you know, push for Big Soda. So I think that's at the heart of it. Like if they tweeted, hey, I was paid $1,000 to promote people with food stamps drinking soda, but I'm going to tell you, I believe that. Would that have sat differently with people, do you think?
But see, the problem is not a single one of them actually believed what they were tweeting. That's why they ended up taking them down at the end of the day. And, you know, some of them even issued retractions. Eric Dougherty actually came out and said, yep, it was dumb. I shouldn't have done it. Because, you know, essentially admitting that this wasn't what he believed. It's one thing, you know, sometimes you get paid to post something that you genuinely, wholeheartedly believe to begin with. And so, you know, it's a little bit more acceptable to accept a check for something like that. But then this is the definition of selling out. It's the definition of selling out, you know, floating this to your audience. And you know, it goes further with the MAHA folks were particularly pissed off about it. Because, you know, they see it as I don't know if you ever read J.D. Vance's book, Hillbilly Elegy, where he would talk about these children with Mountain Dew mouth, you know, because they grew up on food stamps that were paying for Mountain Dew. And it just, these kids forever, you know, for the rest of their lives, they live with these mouths that it looks like meth mouth. You know, so why are we subsidizing that? And then we have to subsidize the health insurance payout, so the healthcare costs from the federal government, Medicaid, to the tune of even more tens and tens of billions of dollars a year to deal with the adverse side effects of subsidizing junk food. It's crazy.
Well, also the idea of like promoting Donald Trump drinking Diet Coke. I mean, you want to talk about aspartame and like how horrible that is? I mean, it's up to him. He can do whatever he wants with his body, right? But like
with
the idea
money,
of like
he's paying for it.
Right, exactly. With his own Diet Coke button. But we have to promote this like canard. It's just crazy. So Nick, I'll get you out of here on this. So how many total influencers do you think that you were able to figure out were paid to push this story? And how many of them have now retracted it or deleted their posts?
About 7 out of 10 of them at this point have retracted their posts. The other ones deleted it and then lied about it and said, no, I wasn't actually paid for that. It's like, oh, yeah, so you used all of the same talking points. You used the link to an article that was in the Influencables work order to you. Yeah, you're full of crap. Because this article wasn't like published in widespread anywhere else. It was only given to these influencers to post. So and there are a lot of people, and I did call out some people that lied about it straight to everybody's faces. Those people can never be trusted again. Just it's pretty obvious who they are at this point.
Yeah, I mean, well, you can read through Nick Sorter's timeline here, and you can see if you want more details about these influencers, supposed, you know, MAGA influencers who are taking money for this. You can read all of Nick's coverage on this. So great job, Nick. Great to see you. Thank you so much for this. And I hope people learn a big lesson from this. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you, Clayton.
Unbelievable. All right. I know it's just so gross. And, you know, it's the same thing when you see all it's like over the past few years, you see all these like Democrats posting the exact same post that they got from like the DNC or whatever, like sort of super PAC gave them these talking points, you know, and they're all posting the same videos. And then everyone in the like the MAGA move, it's like furious about it. And then they're doing this exact same thing.
Well, not to mention that it's also illegal. It is literally a crime to not disclose sponsors.
Right. Under FTC guidelines, right?
Yeah. That's something we tried to make crystal clear to you with our sponsors like on Redacted because we could get in big trouble with the FTC because of it.
FTC,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you have to disclose it. I mean, it's right there in the terms of service. It's crazy. Yeah, it's a great point. All right, well, we have more news to get to here. We're going to talk about the JFK files in a second. What's really in these JFK files? We've been wanting to have Larry Hancock on the show for months now, but we really wanted to wait until these files were released. And then on top of it, we get word from Javier Milei in Argentina that he wants to look at the files for the Nazis that escaped, including Hitler, left the 1945 and actually escaped to Argentina and spent the last 20 years of their lives living out the glory days in Argentina. So now it seems like an era of transparency, but we're going to talk about these JFK files in a second. But first, we want to tell you about one of our sponsors.
Right. We're going to do that transparently because American Financing has been a fantastic sponsor of Redacted, and we're so grateful for that. Now, American Financing is a way for you to learn to leverage the assets that you have in order to dig yourself out of debt. Now, if you are struggling and drowning in high interest credit card debt just to make ends meet because the economy is just so rough on everyone right now, well, maybe you have equity in your home loan that you in your home that you can tap into in order to turn that bad debt into good debt. Now, again, this is something that wealthy people know. Leverage your assets, and they are not afraid to learn about new financial products. But people who don't have that education are taught to be afraid. Oh, no, your home is your only asset. You shouldn't touch it, just like your 401k. Well, again, that's not how wealthy people and successful financial people think. Instead, they learn new products. So we're going to encourage you to go to AmericanFinancing.net/redacted and get a free report and a free consultation, or you can call them at 866-890-8434. They have a team of salary-based mortgage consultants, so there isn't any incentive to put you into a financial product that doesn't make sense. There are no upfront fees to just find out. So don't wait. Call them today. You could save up to $800 per month. That's like giving yourself a $10,000 a year raise. So again, you don't have to do it, but it's a great thing to learn. And once you learn, you won't be so afraid. Again, I really feel like when we get our financial education, we're taught to be so afraid of these out-of-the-box products, and you really shouldn't be. So again, that's AmericanFinancing.net/redacted.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good.
And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
So what's really in these JFK files now that we finally have this massive release? I mean, most of the documents, to my knowledge, unredacted. I mean, thousands upon thousands of pages. Historians have been pouring through all of this. Someone who spent most of his life focused on this is Larry Hancock, a respected author, national security researcher, best known for his deep investigations in the assassination of President Kennedy. And I think what sets Larry Hancock apart is his commitment to looking at the documented evidence here, the meticulous use of the declassified intelligence and these documents. And Larry joins us now to kind of go through these files. Larry, welcome to the show. Good to see you.
Well, thanks for having me on. It's a challenging time for document geeks, which we kind of consider ourselves to be. It's like, okay, what did we look at last week and what's it look like this week?
Well, I got to ask you that. So you've been studying this story for decades, and then suddenly you're met with this massive trove of documents. Where do you start, and what sort of jumped out to you right away that maybe you didn't know and maybe our audience had no idea about?
One thing I think it's important to realize is that the JFK collection basically constituted by everything that the FBI, the CIA, the agencies turned over during the initial Kennedy assassination investigation, plus all of the inquiries that followed it, the Church Committee, the Rockefeller Committee, the House Select Committee on Assassinations, and most recently in the 90s, the work of the Assassinations Records Review Board. So it's a collection, everything gathered together in one spot at the National Archives. But parts of it have been there for decades. It's not a new collection by itself. And when I was first scanning through a few nights ago, we have a tool that actually lets us look and do a search and say, for this particular document, has it been released before? And by the way, how many times? And I was looking at documents that had been released 3, 4, 5 times before that I had written about. And the big challenge was, is anything unredacted now that we didn't see before? Which generally, I have to say, they had told us to a large extent what they had redacted were names of sources, names of operatives, sources themselves, identities, which unless you're really into this and you already know a lot of these people and you know a lot of context, it's not going to be too meaningful. And the good news is if you do, then suddenly you can go, aha, I was waiting for that cryptonym or I was waiting for that identity for 30 years and now I can do something with it. But
did any of those jump out to you?
What we're seeing is a re-release.
Oh, most of it's a re-release. Were there any aha moments though? Like, oh my God, I've been waiting for this for 30 years?
Sure. There were a couple of documents, amazingly, that had been almost fully redacted. I think one, I would say it's important to realize that this is, what we're seeing now is probably as important to historians as it is to JFK researchers. For example, one document that had been almost entirely redacted was a memo from Arthur Schlesinger, a major advisor to President Kennedy, about restructuring the CIA. Kennedy was not happy with the CIA's military operations after the Bay of Pigs, over the missile crisis. just generally wondering if the CIA, if it was working like it should be working. He'd established a separate intelligence directorate to consolidate information from the services. He was satisfied with that. And it's like, do I need to take this further? Well, we knew the memo had been written, but we had not seen it. Now that we can see it, it really is an itemization of everything that the Kennedy administration understood was not going well with the CIA, what the CIA was doing contrary to State Department policies, and literally kind of disconnecting covert operations, even covert political action, from administration policy. And it's a very negative report, which you can understand the CIA probably would be, you know, happy to have that redacted forever. So we're seeing that sort of thing. Very, very important for context, not a smoking gun for the assassination. What we are seeing on the assassination is some interesting things about Lee Harvey Oswald. For example, there have been a lot of claims that Oswald was an agent for the CIA, an asset for the CIA. When he went to Russia, he was working for the CIA. And one evening last week, I'm looking at the document saying, well, this is a CIA internal memorandum, and they're really not sure how Oswald got into Russia through Helsinki, and they have questions about that. They have questions about how he got back with a Russian wife. And you're kind of going, well, wait a minute. Clearly, if they have all these questions still, he's been and he's come back, it argues against that he was going over under their control task by the CIA.
Right. Right. That's a great point. I guess, you know, we're sitting here thinking about, like, what is the smoking gun here? So is there a smoking gun in any of this? You know, I saw someone in our chat just said, let me sum it up for you. Here's who killed JFK. They posted here. They put Israel, Mossad, and the CIA and the mob, case closed. Like, is it that case closed?
Oh, no, it's not case closed at all. Actually, what it is case open in a way, because what we know now, we've invested decades in looking at options and alternatives. And what we know by now, after all the work that's been done looking at this collection, is no legitimate investigation was ever made. Not by the Warren Commission, not initially. We know why it wasn't made. We know who gave the orders, how that happened. And we also know that especially the CIA and the FBI obstructed all the follow-on investigations. And if you were to talk to people from the House Select Committee or the ARB who are still living, will tell you now they know that too. So the good news is we've learned why we don't know what we should know if an investigation had been covered. Plus, we have leads. And that's important. And I think Representative Luna is doing something very important, because we know the body that we've got. Now that we've unredacted, it helps understand how to get outside that box. The JF collection, as it sits now, is like a box. And if you stay in it, you're going to be trapped in it forever. But now we have the leads, and we know where the leads go to look for what should have been collected that wasn't, things that could be brought in, things that could be investigated. But if you just closed it off now and said it's done, then we're done. But the good news from all of this is we know where to look. We're providing information to her on where to look. And I think we've learned enough that something productive could be done. There's a lot of things that should have been brought into this that were not. And now we know what they are. So that's good news.
Can we start to rule things out, though? Because we know that the term conspiracy theory was born out of the government wanting us to not question their narrative, which tells us that their narrative of a single shooter, can we just now declare that to be BS? Can we do that?
Absolutely dead. We know that even the war.
So they need to reshoot all the movies.
We can get that away.
Not single shooter, and was did Oswald fire a gun? Was Oswald one of two, three? Do we have a number that you're kicking around in your research now that it's four, five, six people there that day?
Here's where I have to draw a line. As a historian, try to do historical work. You can't totally, you can rule out there's not the evidence to prove Oswald Lynn is the shooter. We see that in the documents that have been collected. We see that even the Justice Department advised the Warren Commission not to publish a position that Oswald was a shooter because they couldn't defend it. And they just ignored him and went ahead, and he was their advisor. What we're seeing now, it looks, the best definition I can give is 2 to 3 shooters, a paramilitary exercise by people that were trained, very well proficient at infiltration, exfiltration. These were people that knew what they were doing. This is not a shooter contracted by the mob. It's just somebody goes in and takes a shot and makes it. It's something that's organized and structured and comes out of a group, a clique, a working group that has been together probably at that point in time for 3-4 years in anti-Castro operations, trying to topple the Castro regime. And we actually, now that we've seen all the documents, have a good clue as to what triggered that, and that's these people were told that JFK was in November beginning back-channel negotiations with Fidel Castro at his request, Castro's request, to go neutral, get the Russians out, reach an accommodation with the U.S., and unfortunately, when that word, as you can imagine, so critical to the parties that have been trying to kill Castro and overthrow the regime for 3-4 years now, it was explosive. So to answer your question, we can definitively, I'm comfortable with saying we can definitively say that Oswald didn't do it. Oswald was not directly involved. The evidence in hand shows if he had been tried in court, it's very unlikely with a good defense attorney he could have been convicted, considering all the problems we know about now. So we have to look towards an organized, structured, professional attack on the president for what you'd call strategic reasons, the personal reasons for some people, but strategic in regard to Kennedy's policies.
I am so frustrated.
I know.
I get that. I really appreciate that answer.
But we had some big advancements, I think.
Yeah. No, I definitely appreciate the answer. But then I want to ask you, well, then who killed Oswald? But I think maybe we should table that, right?
No, I'm going to not table it. I want to ask it because, you know, what do these documents talk about Jack Rubenstein, a.k.a. Jack Ruby? How in the world was he there to shoot Oswald that day? Do we learn anything in the documents about Jacob Rubenstein?
No, we haven't learned anything in the new documents about him. But the shocking thing is we didn't need anything new. We know that the Warren Commission, even in the very beginning, had come across information about Ruby that was so critical that they refused to do what Ruby asked them to do. Ruby told Earl Warren in Dallas that if he would take him back to Washington, D.C., where he would be safe and protected, he would tell them about the conspiracy. Earl Warren refused to do so.
Right.
What we know is that Jack Ruby himself was connected to this clique of people. Ruby had been involved in Cuban activities since the Castro Revolution. He was connected to one of these team members, Johnny Roselli, who had been trying and working with CIA officers to kill Castro and overthrow regime for, again, 3-4 years. Jack Ruby can be connected into the plot. And strangely enough, and this is really sad, the only two unique Warren Commission-controlled investigators, other than the FBI, who they had to rely on, they could hire two people. They sent them to Dallas to investigate Jack Ruby. And they found connections that were so explosive that they were forced to resign. And when they did resign, they asked only one thing, and that was, when you guys interview him, we want to be in the room because we've got the tough questions that need to be asked. And they didn't call them back when they did the interview. So we don't really need anything new on Jack Ruby. We've kind of known where he's been coming from and what had to be avoided for decades now.
I have a question. question. I was reading Rob Schneider's book, and he talks about the JFK assassination, and he says that there were trees in the way that were removed after the assassination, and it pretended that they were never there, and those trees would have blocked the Lee Harvey Oswald viewpoint where they said he was. But I couldn't find any evidence about those trees. And so I figured you would know, because I went looking for that and I was like, what's this about the trees? Is that true?
There are two things that get convoluted on the trees, because there's two tree stories.
Okay. I want the tree stories.
One is if Lee Harvey Oswald was shooting at the president, the most obvious shot is to shoot straight out the window, looking down the street at the limo coming towards you. That would be straight. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some trees there and there might be some, but that's the good shot to take. That shot wasn't taken. The shots were not taken until the car turned the corner, slowed down, and started down the grade on Elm Street. Okay. So that kind of gets confused sometimes, but the other trees, I think were, There was a writer early on who started talking about trees that were over by the grassy knoll that were not there afterwards and had been taken down. And that's not really true. That was kind of an urban rumor. So you got trees that you have to contend with in two places. At this point in time, the shots that were taken on Elm Street were in a very well-defined kill zone. If you were in the infantry and you were trained in how to do that's where you would do it, because you want to have multiple shooters. You can't risk, in all honesty, you can't risk not killing the president.
Speaking of the president, let's talk about LBJ, Larry. You know, we know the dirty, dirty stuff that LBJ was involved with over the years. We've covered here on this show extensively the USS Liberty. The intentional killing of American sailors on the USS Liberty that Lyndon Johnson was fully aware of. So he's a dirty guy. Do these documents show him involved directly in any way with the assassination?
They do in a way. Okay, let's go back to the situation, because again, we shouldn't. This is the collection that was assembled in essence to support the Warren Commission report of a lone gunman. So I don't think we were expecting to find that. But what they do show is a couple of things. They do show that, here's an example. When the Assassinations Records Review Board did its work in the 90s after the Stone movie and after all the interest in the assassination, the ARB called the autopsy doctor in, Admiral Berkeley. There are lots of issues with the autopsy. They ask him to show them the pictures of the entry wound that killed the president. Okay, that seems reasonable enough. Yeah. They gave him the official photos, the x-rays, and he said, well, I can't do it. And they said, what? And he said, there's nothing here I can't tell you that. And they said, well, this was a medical autopsy. You were in charge of it. You wrote the report. Even though three copies of the report were destroyed. Okay, we won't go into that. That's a separate question. You know, how can you not tell us that? And basically, he just shook his head at them and said, good luck with finding out. Now, that right there tells you there's a problem. What goes along with that is purely anecdotal. And that's the fact that we know now, well, this part's not anecdotal, that the autopsy directions on all the medical evidence were coming from the White House, from Lyndon Johnson. Berkeley even went so far to show the ARB personnel the ring that Lyndon Johnson had given him as a reward for his work. You know, like, wait a minute, how blatant do you have to get? More importantly, and I think to step back, something, it's kind of like your question about Jack Ruby. We have now known for years that the investigation of the assassination stopped in terms of conspiracy Friday night of the assassination with a series of telephone calls from Lyndon Johnson's office, which essentially told the police in Dallas, the Attorney General of Texas, that no charges would be filed that talked about a conspiracy. And if you had paperwork that talked about a conspiracy, tear it up. We know that actually Dallas had filed its initial charges of Lee Oswald with part of a conspiracy. That was torn up and disappeared. We know that after Johnson talked to Hoover that evening and next morning, the next morning, Hoover issued a directive to the entire FBI that said, you know, like yesterday evening, we gave you a directive to do an open-ended investigation. All sources, all possibilities, all people that might have been behind it. The next morning, Saturday morning, after call with Johnson, Hoover's directive says, this will be entirely focused on Lyndon Johnson. No more open-ended investigation. If it's not a lead involving Oswald, we don't want to see it. And Sunday afternoon, Hoover issued a directive that said the FBI would immediately produce a report showing that only Oswald had been involved, and essentially the investigation was done. And we all know that's impossible. You know,
it's so clean, right?
Yeah, it's too clean.
It's so clean. It's so that just keep it clean, right? It's one person. We got him. He's dead. Move on. Let's move on as a country. It's like the Vegas shooter. It's one guy. Turns out it's not. Just move on. Don't ask any questions. Just move on. It's very convenient in that way. You know, Larry, I mean, I could talk to you for hours about this, and I'd love to have you back on as we learn more and maybe more details are revealed about this. I guess people in the chat have been asking about Zapruder, and sure. I'll ask you about that. And I've got a question about Argentina here in a second. But Zapruder, always like a shady character in all of this. Did we learn anything? Can you maybe paint a picture like why, you know, him filming this? His involvement in this, and what do the documents now show in these files about Zapruder?
I don't know who Zapruder is, so can you ask that question?
Educate my lovely wife, if you wouldn't mind.
Mr. Zapruder actually had a firm in downtown Dallas. Actually, his building was in the right next to the Texas School Book Depository, the Daltex building, which is right down at the street. And he decided that the story is he decided that he wanted to go see the motorcade, which, okay, a lot of people did. He had a camera. He took his camera with him and gave us the closest film of the motorcade coming down the street, coming down Elm Street, which is a critical film if you're going to do trajectory analysis. And again, look into the possibility of a single shooter, multiple shooters. So it kind of became the benchmark, okay? And in any criminal investigation, of course, it would have been seized immediately by law enforcement and taken into custody and very tightly controlled. Unfortunately, in this case, it was not. Life magazine bought it that evening, bought rights to it. And the story from that point in time, I would say bifurcates, but it's worse than that because you've got multiple copies going to multiple places and you've got people describing things differently. The bottom line for the Zapruder thing, I think that people should appreciate, is it was not released other than through Life magazine, who showed it, printed a series of shots supposedly showing the fatal bullet. And for some reason, the most important film, certainly in the history of the period, whoever did the layout supposedly got the sequence of frames wrong. So they don't show you what you see when you really look in the movie. When you look at the movie,
our chat is pointing out. Yeah.
Yeah. Intuitively, there's no doubt that JFK is shot from the front. There's just his head snaps like this. You can have every physicist in the world in and come up with an explanation, which it's showing the Zapruder film real time would have been disastrous to the Warren Commission. So it was held back. And what you had was Life magazine controlling it. And what you had eventually, insanely enough, decades down the road, is the U.S. government paying the Zapruder family a horrible amount of money and still keeping it out of circulation. But if I could just elaborate on that one thing, there are several other films. And when I talked about Representative Luna and the work that her committee could do, there are several films that were held back by the media companies that acquired them, NBC being one of them. If we really want to resolve some outstanding questions that have come up, including the fact of a person that's been talked about a lot as Lee Harvey Oswald, shown in front of the school book depository at the time of the shooting, which needs to be put one way or the other, we need the originals of those films.
And that NBC has organizations, that, has, that they've been sitting on.
They've been
sitting.
That's right.
So we've never, have we, are they on the internet anywhere? Have we ever seen them?
We've seen second and third generation copies. What we need is the original. That's, that takes us into internet.
Our own media.
Right? You don't want to go into internet photography.
Okay. That's.
Oh, my God.
Surprising, but not surprising.
Larry, we'll get you out of here on this. And I don't know if you have any knowledge of this at all. But yesterday we reported here what Javier Milei, the head of Argentina, of course, is now sort of following a lot of moves on transparency there to release these Nazi documents in Argentina. All of the Nazis that moved to Argentina had set up a base of operations there during World War II. It was almost like another version of Germany in a lot of ways. The Third Reich had set up a major base of operations in Misiones and Bariloche and multiple locations in Argentina. It's widely reported that Hitler survived, did not shoot himself. I don't think anyone really believes that. I certainly don't. And the evidence supports that he went to Argentina and lived out his days into the 1960s. So these documents that Argentina is about to release, what are you hoping you'll see? Is there anything there that stands out to you that you're looking at as a historian?
Yeah. And interestingly enough, that's having been involved with way too many subjects over the decades, I suppose. Yeah. Very familiar with the so-called rat lines that took Nazis of all types, a lot of SS, but also a lot of scientists into Argentina. And I mean, amazingly, you find things like Argentina starting its own fusion nuclear program with Nazi scientists that had been working on atomic research in Germany. But the other thing you find is that the CIA had convinced themselves that a great number of these former Nazis from the intelligence community, from the SS, not just the scientists. We tend to think that they just brought the rocket scientist over, but they didn't. They brought a lot of intelligence people, but they didn't bring them directly from Europe. They kind of enabled them getting to Argentina, and then they recruited them from Argentina into the U.S. And if you really want the full story of what evolved with the intelligence network and to some extent why the intelligence network became so obsessed with communist operating, immediately prior to the end of the war, a lot of that influence came from these Nazis who, of course, had been fighting communism as much as anything else. And
right.
They had a major influence inside the American intelligence community. It would be great to see exactly how those ties evolve. We know they're there, but again, the devil is always in the details. Who and when? Timing is especially critical.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would like more information about Operation Paperclip and how many of the Nazis held really real positions of power inside the United States. Americans might be shocked to learn that. I hope we learn some of that in these documents. Larry, great to see you. The book is called The Oswald Puzzle. I know you're knee deep in documents right now going through all of this. I hope you'll come back on the show with more revelations that we can talk about here on Redacted. Thank you so much, Larry.
Would love to. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Thanks, Larry.
Wow. All right. Bombshells there. Yeah. NBC News has exculpatory evidence for Lee Harvey Oswald and sat on it, never told us the truth. Okay, that's a major betrayal of the American people. Shooter. Go ahead.
I think what you're describing is called journalism, and I wouldn't expect that out of any of the American media companies.
No.
Right.
Not out of NBC, for sure.
And that we can put the single shooter bit to rest. Okay. And it was not Lee Harvey Oswald. We're done with that now. We're putting that aside. And also conspiracy theorists were right all along.
Yeah.
So let us know what was revelatory for you. And we'd love to hear it. That was amazing.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, thank you guys for subscribing to the show. It's free to subscribe to Redacted here. We really appreciate it. And should we tell people about the store? We never tell people about the store.
Yes. So we want to tell you that if you go to redactedstore.com, you can find a buffet of things such as this one, Conspiracy Knower, because conspiracy theorist, we have just proven to you, is not a thing when you conspiracies are real. We have a new one called Communism Equals Starvation. That's just today. The Wall Street Journal published something saying, if you're struggling right now, you should try skipping breakfast. Like, you should just starve. That's this one. Communism equals starvation. All manner of paraphernalia that you can sport in order to support Redacted to the World. So check out our offerings over at redactedstore.com. It's a great way to support independent journalism because we do not have exculpatory evidence of Lee Harvey Oswald killing JFK and sit on it. We don't do things like that. We bring to you what we find. We do our very best. So when you support us, you're supporting the truth.
I forgot to say, the other day I was behind somebody in line or driving, and someone had a Redacted bumper sticker on.
Get out of here.
One of our Redacted bumper stickers, and it wasn't David.
Did you honk at them?
No, because I think they'd be like, who's that? Like a honk? They'd give me the finger or something, you know?
Okay.
I don't know. But I was like, that's so awesome to see that. So, yeah, thanks to all of you for supporting our show here and what we do. It's a free show, so thank you guys for subscribing. We're back here tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Thanks so much for your love, your support, and supporting independent journalism. And we'll see you tomorrow, everyone.
If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a one-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.